Welcome to Wellington Avenue Baptist Church. This is the day the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. But it's so nice to see each and every one of you this morning. I know you came in this morning thinking, oh my goodness, it's rainy and it's dreary outside, but let's let the sun shine inside this morning. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him honor. Let's worship Him and let's magnify His holy and righteous name, because it's all about Him anyway. And so with that being said, before we even go into our announcements, let's go ahead and pray and ask God to fill us with His love and His Spirit this morning. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we come to you now in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we ask you to be with us this morning. We ask you to teach us. We ask you to speak to us, Lord God. And I pray you open up our hearts right now, Lord, that today would be the day, Lord, we experience renewal, revival, repentance, restoration, redemption, and rejoicing in your house. I pray, Lord, that you work in our hearts and work in our lives, Lord God. But if we are scared, Lord, if we are fearful, or we, Lord God, have some sort of problem between us and you, I pray today, Lord, be the day we lay it down. We lay it at the foot of the cross, Lord God, and leave this house rejoicing in you. For you are the great healer, you are the great comforter, and Lord God, you are our physician. I just pray, Father God, right now, you move in our hearts and our lives. I pray, Father God, you take the service and be glorified and magnified in it. And I pray, Lord God, that each and every one of us will experience you today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning again, and welcome to Robinson Avenue Baptist Church. Let me share with you a little bit about what's going on. But first, if you're visiting with us this morning, we want to ask you to fill out the little visitor card you'll find in front of you. Place an offering plate that comes around so we can have a record of your visit. We greatly appreciate that. If you join us online this morning, we want to welcome you as well and ask you to consider being right here in the sanctuary with us and experience what God is doing in Robinson Avenue Baptist Church. Well, there is quite a bit happening the next few weeks at Robinson Avenue, so let me share with you a little bit about that. Today, of course, at 4:30, we'll have cantata practice right here in the sanctuary. So if you're in our Resurrection Day cantata, you need to be there. We're going to try to go through the whole cantata twice. Remember, next Sunday is that cantata day, so start praying for that. Start considering being a part of that, and come and get blessed as we worship our Lord and give Him praise and honor and glory. You know what else next Sunday is? It's Palm Sunday, so get your palms ready. Get your Hosanna yeller ready, because we're going to have a great time in the house of the Lord. Amen indeed. Also, church, I want to remind you that we have evening services at 6 p.m., so come and be a part of that as well. However, our evening services will be our quarterly business meeting. I know, just your smile just disappeared right off your face. Well, I guess, right? No, Robinson Avenue business meetings are a blessing, so come and be a part of that. Pray for us in that. So you are invited. If you're a member, come and be a part of that and share your voice in what God is doing at Robinson Avenue. All right. Don't forget that our ladies have taken a little bit of a sabbatical, and they'll pick their studies back up when they have a new study up in that. So they'll pick their ladies' Bible study back up on Tuesdays at 9:30 in the morning and 6:30 in the evenings when they have got their full study up and ready. In the meantime, the men are still meeting on Thursdays at 6:30. So speaking of our men's ministry, if you missed out on prayer breakfast this Sunday morning, you missed out on a blessing. If you like sausage gravy, you like biscuits, you like bacon, you like sausage patties, then I'm telling you that is the place to be. So next April we'll have a prayer breakfast again on that third Saturday. So prayerfully consider being a part of those prayer breakfasts. All right? With that being said, youth group will be meeting Saturday to paint the shed outside. So they'll be doing that about 10 o'clock this Saturday. So pray for Brother Darius as he leads them in that. And so he may come home with a lot of paint in his hair, but either way, be in prayer for him for that. That does take a lot of time and a lot of patience. Also, church, coming up, resurrection activities. So please be in prayer about that as well. Some of you know that our resurrection week is very busy and very busy on pastor. So please carefully consider being a part of our Friday night tenebrae service. That's going to be Friday the 29th. And so what that is a very reverent and a very respectful time of worship of the Lord. We reflect upon the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So consider being a part of that. It ends with a surprise, and it's a time of deep scripture reflection. So prayerfully consider being a part of that. Also, Wednesday, we'll be having our Christ in the Passover, so come be a part of that as well. It won't be at 6:30 that week. It will be at 6. So we have a little bit of extra time to have that Lord's Supper service there, and that Seder Supper as well. So that will be at 6 p.m., the last Wednesday of March. So that's our Christ in the Passover presentation. And, of course, our Resurrection Day services on Sunday morning. We will have sunrise service. We are looking for volunteers to help us set that up at about 5 a.m. or slightly after 5 a.m. that Sunday morning, Easter Day, Resurrection Day. And so we'll be setting up chairs outside, setting up the outside visual equipment so we can have our outside service. We'll have that sunlight service at 6:30. And then, of course, afterwards, we'll have breakfast, and that'll go to about 9. And from there, we'll go on to Sunday school, and then we'll have our traditional service here in the sanctuary at 10:45. And then that will be the conclusion of Robinson Avenue Services for Resurrection Day. All right. So I think that's about it for coming announcements, unless there's something I have forgotten. Okay. Let me thank each and every one of you for your help and your support in the celebration of life of Miss Utana Wheeler, for the blessing it was. And thank you all for coming together and loving one another, supporting one another as Utana made her transition from here to heaven. All right. We've already opened with a word of prayer, so we have a special guest that's going to be with us this morning. She's going to be leading us in worship. Her name is Missy Cloninger, and she has come and sing quite a few songs with us. And so I don't know if Summer or Jonathan are going to be with her, but I got a hunch that they are going to be helping her out in there. Maybe some of the other family members are going to be singing as well, but we were looking forward to that. In the meantime, Miss Missy, would you come on up and lead us in worship? Oh, I did miss the meet and greet, didn't I? I knew there was something I was missing. You know what? The truth is there's a lot of folks not wearing green here, and you're going to get pissed. Would y'all please rise and welcome one another?
Good morning, everybody. If you'll make your way back to your seats, we'll get started. Mm-hmm. Everybody hear me? All right. So, use my pastor's voice. If you don't know, we're the Clonin Group. I'm Summer. I'm least important. I know it's rude to start with yourself, but I'm very interested in this story. So, this is my husband, Jonathan, who plays the drums for us occasionally when the Army lets him. And, which will be in about a month or so. He'll be gone for almost like 9 months. So, his mom, Misty, flew in from Arkansas to visit him, and we asked if we'd do a special. And, Pastor was like, hey, why don't you just do the whole thing and give the choir a break for the cantata? Again, I told y'all before, I'm not professional, but I mean, we're going to try to work our way through this, because this is normally somebody else's show.
That good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip. That good old gospel ship, I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until it ever brings while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, if you're ashamed of me, you have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. If too much fault to find,
You'll be sure to left behind when I go sailing through the air.
Oh, I'm gonna take the trip, and in no gospel ship I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm being this world goodbye.
Oh, in my way, and I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. And when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world a sin, and we'll sail through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm
going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye.
A woman went out at midday with her water pot to get a little drink. But waiting for her was the truth and the way. But oh, how she listened to what it had to say. Her spirit was so thirsty, her soul bound for hell. But instead of just the drink, he gave her the well.
Cause in the name of Jesus, there is more than enough. There's power flowing from above. I'm cleansed by His blood, clothed in His love. Cause in the name of Jesus, there is more than enough. More than enough.
A lame man laid at the beautiful gate. Peter and John, they came up to pray. Well, the beggar asked for money, but Peter had none. But he said, in the name of Jesus, you can overcome. Well, standing to his feet, the red filled his legs. He walked, he jumped, and he began to run.
Because in the name of Jesus, there is more than enough. There's power flowing from above. I'm cleansed by His blood, clothed in His love. Cause in the name of Jesus, there is more than enough, more than enough.
Well, Paul and Silas were thrown in a jail. They're locked up securely down in a cell. They were beaten and bleeding, but they did not complain. But alone around midnight, they just prayed and sang. Their hands raised in praise, their feet were in stocks. But the power of God made that jailhouse rock.
Cause in the name of Jesus, there is more than enough. There's power flowing from above. I'm cleansed by His blood, clothed in His love. Cause in the name of Jesus, there is more than enough, more than enough. Cause in the name of Jesus, there is more than enough, more than enough.
We're going to ask the ushers to come.
it's a foreign battlefield where I find your will. Lord, then that's where I long to be. In the desert without a dream, on some old ship about to sink. Lord, I'll go if you'll just speak to me. Speak the word, Lord, my ears long to hear you. Speak the word, Lord, my heart aches to know. Speak the word, Lord, I'll be what you have me to be. Speak the word, Lord, and you serve unto the Lord. There's been times when I've complained that life goes against the grain, and I recall those times you took me to my knees. But there's one thing I couldn't do, so I still owe this thanks to you. 'Cause it was you, Lord, who took my cross to Calvary. So speak the word, Lord, my ears long to hear you. Speak the word, Lord, my heart aches to know. Speak the word, Lord, I'll be what you'd have me to be. Speak the word, Lord, and you serve unto the Lord. Speak the word, Lord, and you serve unto the Lord.
Man, when those kids leave, it sure seems like you get empty, doesn't it? What a blessing it is to have those children. It's so good to see each and every one of you this morning. And so, I have an interesting message I want to share with you. First, I want to say thank you to Brother Jonathan, to Sister Summer, and to Miss Misty for blessing us this morning. God bless you. Thank you very much for that. Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The title of this morning's message is called Compelled by Compassion. Compelled by Compassion. And so I want to speak to your heart this morning. I'm going to ask you to open your heart. Ask you to let God speak. Let God work. If you need to come to know Him as personal Lord and Savior today, please don't hesitate during the invitation. Put it in your heart and in your life. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, we come to you now in Jesus' name. And Lord God, as we look into your word, would you speak to us, would you teach us, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? And I pray, Father God, that you'd open us up, Lord, have your way with us. That anybody who needs to come to know you as personal Lord and Savior, anyone needs to be at Harlan Robinson Avenue, or anybody, Lord God, who needs to get their heart right with you or their relationship with you right today, would you let now be the time, today be the day, and give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Compelled by compassion. Let's begin with Scripture. Luke 9, verse 23 is where we're going to be. Luke 9, verse 23. I'll give you a second to turn there. love to hear those pages turn. Of course, I know in the year 2024, I hear sometimes the buttons pushing on too. I love to hear those buttons turn on. It doesn't sound the same way, does it? I love to hear those pages turn. Luke 9:23. Read one verse. The Bible says, "Then he said to them all, Jesus, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If you desire to be my disciple, you need to pick up your cross, you need to deny yourself, and you need to follow me. Anyone desires to come after me." So that may be why you're here this morning. David, that's why you're joining us online this morning. You're saying, "Pastor, I want to be a disciple of Jesus." Well, there's a couple of things I think you need to know. First, number one, are you ready for this now? Jesus is not just a good teacher. Amen. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is not just a good role model. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is not just a good teacher. He is, without a doubt, the very Word of God. And so Jesus tells his disciples, now he's speaking to his disciples during this time frame. He says, "Anyone desires to come after me." That's an open invitation. That means it's an invitation for you. You've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Yeah, if you desire to be my disciple. Now, the Bible's clear in telling us just what a disciple is. In fact, it tells us specifically what a disciple does. Look at what Jesus says here. This is in Matthew 10, verse 25. We are going to jump around just a little bit this morning, just to go along and pick up the idea of what a disciple is. But look with me in Matthew 10, 25. This is the first part of it. Jesus says, it's enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. It's enough for you to be like me. Jesus is the teacher. Jesus is the master. Jesus is the Messiah. And he says, it's enough for you, if you're going to be my disciple, it's enough for you to be like me. To be like me. And so we need, in our hearts right now, to pick up our cross, deny ourselves, follow after him, and we need to start being like Jesus. Jesus was, well, completely different than what the world thought. He was completely on another level. He came and he taught things that were contrary to our way of thinking. Our way of thinking is, hey man, if someone hits you on the one cheek, get even, baby. Jesus taught, he taught us that if someone smites the one cheek, turn to him the other. What is a disciple? In fact, Jesus says it's enough for the disciple to be like his master. We are to be like him. We are to be just like him. In fact, Jesus says that is enough. In fact, you should start thinking about Jesus being on the cross where he says, it is finished. It is enough for you to be like me, said Jesus. It is enough. And since it's like it's finished, this is where you need to be. This is the pivotal point. This is the tip top of the iceberg. Where you can be is being like me. It's enough. It's finished. That's where you're supposed to strive to get to. It's enough. Or to be like him. Look again at the scriptures. Let's look again in John chapter 13 quickly now. Let's say we're just jumping around for just a second. We'll get into our main message in just a second. But look again at the scriptures, John 13:12-15. So when he had washed their feet, we're looking at what Jesus does now as a teacher. And he's telling his disciples, be like me. And incidentally, don't forget, if we're going to follow after him, we've got to deny ourselves, we've got to pick up our cross, and we've got to follow after him. That means Christianity is a lot more than just being at church. Are you hearing me this morning? That means Christianity is a little bit deeper than putting a Bible in the back seat of your car and driving around for the next 6 days and picking it back up to go into church on Sunday. Christianity means we've got to pick up our cross and follow after him. Now look with me in John 13. We're looking at what a disciple is. And Jesus said, you got to be like me. It's enough to be like me. So what did Jesus do? Well, here's a picture right here. Look at me in John 13. Some of you know the background of this. This is where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Look at me in verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. If I've given you an example that you should do, I have done to you." Remember, Jesus said, pick up your cross, follow after me, deny yourself. Remember, Jesus said, be like me. That's enough. And what did Jesus do? And he washed his feet. And he said, now on top of that, he said, you should do what I've done to one another. What is it that Jesus did exactly? Washing his feet. Well, remember now, if we are his disciples, we'll become like him. That's what Jesus told us to do. It's enough that you be like your teacher. So what did Jesus do? I think we can all get out there a towel and water and start washing people's feet. But I want you to know something. There's a lot more into foot washing than just washing dirt off somebody's feet. There's a lot more in it. That doesn't mean we still shouldn't do it, because I'm telling you right now, some of us get so holy that we don't hang around with anybody who's not in our religious clique anymore. Some of us are so holy that the only aspirin we take is St. Joseph. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you have become Pharisaical. So my point is this, though. Jesus didn't problem. He had no problem putting a towel around his waist and washing people's feet. So what did Jesus do? What did he do? What is the picture here that we need to learn from? Remember, Jesus said, you need to be like me. That's enough. You're going to be my disciple. You've got to follow after me. So let's take a look at a little bit about that means. Come after me. As a disciple, we're supposed to be doing things. We're supposed to be preaching, teaching. We're supposed to be witnessing, testifying. So let's take a look at something that Jesus did. We're going to be like him. We're going to mimic him, imitate him, to be like he is. And he said, that's enough. Let's find out what Jesus did. Look with me in Matthew chapter 9. Quickly now, this is where we're going to finish up our service at. And I know some of you are looking like, my fingers are getting tired, Josh. Well, I love to hear the faith turn, so amen. Matthew 9, 35. We are wanting to be like Jesus. We're understanding what a disciple is. There's more to a disciple than just being at a Bible study. There's more to being a disciple than just having a Bible. There's more to being a disciple than just coming to church. Being a disciple is somebody who denies himself daily. Somebody who says no to me and yes to the Lord. Somebody who picks up his cross and follows after Jesus daily. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you to follow after Jesus? Well, it means something very powerful to me. It means something that's life-changing to me. And I want you to grab a hold of the vision. In fact, I want you to see more than I've ever seen. I want you to know more than I've ever known. I want you to know Jesus in a more real, more personal way than I ever have. My Bible tells us in Matthew 9:35 that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, for they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Please remember, the title of this morning's message is Compelled by Compassion. And so if we look down in verse 36, we find out in our New King James Version that Jesus was moved with compassion. However, that particular word, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time in Greek this morning, but that particular word actually means that he is compelled by compassion. He's moved to have bowels of mercy. That is the picture that we have here in our Greek New Testament. He's compelled to be merciful, compelled to have compassion. And so let me ask you a question this morning. What is compelled? If we were to talk about what compelled means, if we were to pull out a dictionary, what do you think it would say to be compelled? Compelled, in my layman's term of definition, is something I have to do. I cannot help but do it. I'm compelled to do it. I'm forced to do it. Not by somebody physically, not by hand pushing me, but my emotions are forcing me to do it. And you know something? Sometimes we, as emotional individuals, Christians, we're emotional. Did you know that? Christians are emotional. We love, we pray, we cry. Can I tell you something, Christian? It is not weak to cry. Somebody say amen. If Jesus cried, it's okay for you to cry. In fact, the Bible tells us in John 11:35, Jesus wept. And if it's okay for Him to take time to cry, it's okay for you to take time to cry. Don't listen to the world looking at you saying, it's not manly to cry. No, no, no. The Son of God took time to cry. You take time to cry. Heal. Be a part of that. Have emotions, but don't let your emotions control you. Don't let your emotions rule you. Do you understand when sin came into the world and sin marred everything? One of the things it destroyed inside of us was our ability to have those good, godly emotions. We let jealousy control us. We let anger control us. We let lust control us because sin is there. Absolutely. You know what else we let? We let compassion sometimes control us. We let the word compelled move us, our emotions. That's why somebody can get so angry he can't control himself. Amen. You ever met that guy or that gal? And they're so angry they've lost self-control. They're compelled to do it. You ever met that one who was so moved, though, by emotion as they looked up? That Christian who said, I'm compelled to go and help the abortion. I'm compelled to go and help those babies. I'm compelled to reach out to the sex traffickers. I'm compelled to bring the gospel to the lost. Let me tell you, your pastor's heart is compelled to bring the gospel to the lost in Copper's Cove. That is my vision. People ask me all the time, Pastor, what's your vision for Robert Sanger? To seek and to save the lost in Copper's Cove. That is my heart's desire. They're lost. They're dying. They're going to hell. They're broken. And we've got the answer, Jesus Christ. And I get moved with compassion when I see them. 7-Eleven, HEB, Walmart. They're seeking the answer in Allah. Y'all are seeking the answer in witchcraft. They're seeking the answer in lesbianism, in homosexuality, and transgenderism. They are trying to find the answer in mental illness. We've got the answer in Jesus Christ. Our Bible tells us He was moved. Compassion, compelled, compelled. He was almost forced to do it. Compelled by compassion. His love, not the compassion, his love overtook everything. Do you have a problem with people? Now listen to me, because I'm speaking to you. You're online this morning, and you say, I'm looking for that place to be where a preacher preaches to me. Well, I'm preaching to you this morning. Are you afraid to be out in public again? Are you afraid to get back in the house of God because somebody was mean to you 27 years ago? You need to let compassion swallow up your fears. You need to let love swallow up your fears. Jesus let love swallow up what anybody else thought about Him. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Compelled by compassion. Look at me in verse 37. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Let your compassion swallow up your fear. Now, look back at the scripture and just look at it. Remember in verse 35, the Bible tells us Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Jesus taught. And that's the things we need to do. We're learning to be a disciple this morning. We're learning to be compelled by compassion. And we're learning that Jesus said, hey, if you're like me, that's enough. And that's the one thing I'm thinking this nowadays in modern day church. Be compelled by compassion. When was the last time our heart has been broken by sin? When's the last time we've looked at debauchery and pride in God's people? When's the last time we've looked out there and not just been disgusted, but been brokenhearted at what our brothers and sisters are doing? When's the last time our heart has been broken? When's the last time we've looked at people and said they're going to hell without Jesus Christ, and our hearts have been broken? Well, my Bible tells me it's enough for me to be like my teacher. He was compelled by compassion. Not only that, but He also went about cities and villages and synagogues teaching. He taught. He preached. He healed. So if we're going to be like Jesus this morning, and we're going to be compelled by compassion, then I think we need to learn a little bit more from Jesus, and we can start doing what he did. So Jesus, number one, went about all the cities and villages teaching. He went about them teaching. Let's break that up for just a second. He went into those cities. He went into those synagogues. He went. That's where we need to stop right there. He went. He went. Are you hearing me this morning? He went. He didn't ask for somebody else to go. He went. We need to bring the gospel wherever we go. That's our point number one this morning. We need to imitate our master, Jesus Christ, and start bringing the gospel everywhere we go. The lost are here in Copper Cove with us. We don't have to get on a plane and go to Ukraine or to Poland. We don't have to get on a bus and go to Mexico. They are right here with us, and you can reach them today. They are right here with us. Go to them. They're in 7-Eleven. They're in HEB. They're in what? I think they're in McDonald's, y'all. That's got to be the lost of people in the world. If you ain't going to Whataburger, you're a sinner, amen. We need to bring the gospel everywhere we go. Some of y'all are going to get mad, like, Pastor, I will never bring you a flail fish ever again. I'm sorry. Keep bringing that flail fish. We need to bring the gospel everywhere we go. We need to bring it in every place we are. Why? Because we are compelled by compassion. Why? Because Jesus loved them. We should love them. Look at them. Do you understand what Jesus said? They're like sheep without shepherds, gone astray, and his heart breaks for them. We need to be compelled like that. When's the last time you've been compelled by compassion? Not compelled by tradition. Not compelled by perfection. Not compelled by, that's the way we've always done it. No, we need to be compelled by compassion. We need to bring the gospel everywhere we go because we love them. And incidentally, those lost are here with us. And we need to start going to them. They're in our families. They're in our schools. They're in our places of work. They're lost. And they need Jesus Christ. Check this out. Now, when you start preaching, when you start teaching, when you start witnessing, you're going to find out, though, that some people get a little bit upset. Somebody say amen. When you start telling them, hey, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, then people get upset about that. They're like, well, I don't really want to hear that. You know what? Jesus addresses that. He does. Look at me in Matthew 10:23. He gives us a promise. This is amazing to me. Check this out. Look at me in Matthew 10:23. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. You know what that means to me? That means that we will finally get off of our keister and get back out to witness and preach and teach and testify. Then by the time we're done, the Son of God will be returning and we won't even miss but one day. You won't go through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Go get them! Go get them! You've been waiting for that sign from God. Is God calling me to be a gospel tracker? Yes! Is God calling me to be a witness? Yes! Is God calling me to reach lost? Yes! Is God calling me to share the gospel? Yes! We would just do what Jesus did. We would just do it. And we would be compelled by compassion. We would let compassion swallow our fear. My Bible tells us, he went to them. Incidentally, we don't even have to do it much anymore. In fact, the whole world has made it easy for us. Christians have made it easy for us. When we go testify, we can do it like this nowadays. It's coming. One more. There it is. You don't even have to do the preaching anymore. The gospel tract will do the preaching for you. Give it out. Leave them out. Be compelled by compassion. Far better somebody who leaves a gospel tract somewhere than somebody who never whispers at all. Leave them out. Give them out. Use them. You say, Pastor, I can't afford them. There's all kinds of free places. That's where I get mine at. Free places. You'd be surprised when you start giving them out how many people will bring you theirs and say, I don't want to give them out anymore, but I see you give them out. All right, well, the more you give me, the more I'm going to have fun giving them out. You know where I have most of the fun giving them out at? Walmart. That is a great place to give out gospel tracts. Go down the beer aisle and see what happens. That is a lot of fun with your gospel tracts. All the deacons will retreat from that aisle. No, I'm just kidding. I don't see any guys there. However, the point is this. Go down to beer aisle with gospel tracts, and you have yourself an instant witnessing session. There will be somebody willing to debate with you, too, straight up, say, hey, man, I can live in my sin. I can keep doing this and be happy the way I am. No, that's why you're not happy, is because you're denying Jesus Christ. My point is this. Jesus went to him. And that's the first thing we need to do. If we're compelled by compassion, we need to start going to those people. We need to love them like he loved them. He was compelled by compassion. He was moved with compassion when he looked down on them. And his prayer was, Father, send laborers into the field. Are you hearing that prayer this morning? Look back at that scripture. Jesus went about all the cities and villages. While he was there, you know what he did? He taught. Jesus preached. Jesus healed. But if he went, he also taught. And that's the next thing we need to be doing. We're compelled by compassion. We need to teach. We should teach wherever we are. So what do we teach, you might say? Pastor, what do I teach as a Christian? Let me tell you the first thing that Christians should teach. Are you ready for this? That mankind needs a Savior. Amen. You need to start teaching that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and there is no other way unto the Father but through Him. Teach it. Not only teach it, live it. Not only live it, be willing to die for it. We teach. What do we teach? We teach them that sin is destroying our world and our nation. You want to know what's wrong in the United States of America today? It's not Democrats, it's not Republicans, it's not independents or green parties or any other political parties that you could think of. What's wrong with the United States of America today is that we have allowed sin to assimilate into our schools. We've allowed sin to become part of our political process. We've allowed sin to be part of our modern day families. We've allowed sin to be in our school systems. We've allowed sin to get anywhere, everywhere, and be a part of everything we do. And we're no longer teaching that sin is wrong. We're teaching that sin is a condition, some sort of mental health. No, no, no. Sin is a choice, and you can say no to it and come to Jesus Christ for healing. Teach them that sin is destroying our world and our nation. Teach them that sin is a problem with the modern-day family today. That's the reason why fathers are no longer in the picture, because we've let sin become important. Sin is destroying our nation, and sin is destroying our identity. Incidentally, sin is destroying our churches. Sin is destroying our preachers, our teachers. If you were to look at Baptist statistics right now, it's scary. More preachers are quitting than are coming into the office today. More pastors are leaving. In our own association, we've lost 3 pastors over the last 18 months. How many have we got? 1. In return. Our little bitty association. We need to teach that sin is destroying our world and our nation. We need to teach them. You know what else we need to teach them? That God is the creator of this world. You know that? There's a lie in our public school system that says we evolved, that the world is millions and billions of years old. Absolutely, positively false. God is the creator of this world, and he made this world in 6 days. Amen. He made mankind. He made male and female. He made Adam and Eve. Listen to me now. He did not make Adam and Steve. Teach them that God is the creator and that there is none like him. There is none other beside him. He is the one and only. We need to teach that God is in control. We need to teach that God is still on his throne. And we need to teach that if we will turn from our wicked ways and call upon him, he will heal our nation again. We need to teach it. People say, Pastor, do you really believe that God can do something again with the United States? Of course I believe it, or I would quit my job today. If I believed that God was done with the United States of America, I would not be here anymore. I believe that God is still calling his people, his bride, his church, to to repentance. And if we will repent and call upon Him, then we will see revival in our land. We'll see the lost saved. We'll see the sick healed, the dead raised, the demons cast out. We will see a righteous country again. I believe it with all my heart. Teach them that God is in control. Teach them that God is the one who made this world. Teach them that sin is what's destroying us. Sin is what's breaking up your family. Sin is what's breaking up your marriage. You can't be a husband when you're lusting at pornography. Wife, you can't be a wife when you're lusting after the guy down the street. Teach them that sin is destroying our world and our nation. Teach. Jesus went and he taught. He was moved by compassion. Are you moved by compassion? He said, "Oh, Pastor, I'm afraid." Let compassion swallow up your fear. Let compassion swallow up your fear. You say, "Pastor, how do I do that?" Repeat after me. It's a simple prayer. God, let love swallow up my fears. I'm afraid. Help me in Jesus' name. Let love swallow up your fear. "Oh, Pastor, they're going to be mad at me." Try preaching a sermon. Let's look back at our scripture now. Jesus not only went out all the cities and villages, not only did Jesus teach, my Bible says Jesus preached. He taught and he preached. There's a difference between teaching and preaching. What is preaching? My old pastor used to say, preaching is just bragging on Jesus. Wrong. You know what preaching is? Preaching is letting people know that there is one God in heaven. Preaching is letting people know that there's only one way to get to God. Jesus Christ. Preaching is letting people know that idols will not save you, that man's religion will not save you, that man's tradition will not save you. Preaching is letting people know that God is only way. Jesus preached. What did he preach? He preached that God the Father, that sin is only begotten Son. He preached for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He preached for whosoever will. He preached, "I am willing." He preached, "You can be clean." He preached, "You can be healed." He preached, "You can be a part of." He preached that the gospel is for you. What did he preach? We need to get back into preaching. We need to get back into the business of preaching. What did he preach? He preached the gospel. What is the gospel? If you were here a couple of Wednesday nights ago, we did a Bible study on what the gospel is. What is the gospel? Well, most people will say, "Pastor, the gospel is good news." That's what it means, good news. Amen, it is. It's the best news the world has ever heard. It's bigger news than when Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon. It's the biggest thing that's ever happened since Lazarus came out of the grave. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 tells us, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus Christ resurrected. Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophets. That is the gospel. Jesus died for us. That's what He taught. God is sending His Son. God's Son will go to the cross. God's Son will be buried. God's Son will be raised the third day. That's what he preached. That's what we need to preach again. We need to get back to preaching the gospel. We've been preaching some health and wealth gospel. We've been preaching some name it, claim it gospel. We've been preaching some emotional, don't be sad, get happy. I'm telling you, quit being sad, start loving, and you'll find your blues going somewhere else. When you get back to loving, you'll find yourself preaching and teaching the gospel because the gospel is a love. Apostle Paul writes to the church of 1 Corinthians. He says, "Hey, I'm going to give you the gospel. I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. Christ died for our sins." You know that's the biggest news the world has ever heard? Jesus Christ died for your sins. Your sins can be paid for. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. You might say, "Oh, Pastor, God can't forgive my sins. I've been a homosexual." Oh, Pastor, God can't forgive my sins. I've been involved in extortion. I've been involved in kidnapping. Oh, Pastor, I've had these horrible dreams, these horrible thoughts. I want you to know that the Bible says that Christ died for our sins. He died for your sins. And it doesn't matter where you've come from. He has died for you. It doesn't matter what your background is. He's died for you. And he still receives sinful men. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. What did the Scripture say? For all the sin have fallen short of the glory of God. Don't be sitting there in the pew saying, thank God he ain't preaching to me this morning. I am. He died for all of us. Don't be sitting there saying, I got my St. Joseph's aspirin this morning. Don't do it. He died for every one of us. He shed his blood for every one of us. There is none righteous. No, not one. You might be saying, oh, Pastor, I believe there's good in everybody. No, no, no. The Bible says there's good in none of us. There is none good. No, not one. All of us have sinned and fallen short of his glory. And it doesn't matter the nature of your sin. It doesn't matter when you sin. Time doesn't forgive sin. Only God does. Paul says, I will give to you that which was given to me. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures because the prophets prophesied it. They told us in Isaiah 53, there's a servant that's going to come. He's going to suffer and it's going to please God to bruise him. In other words, God's going to be pleased to use him as a sacrifice for your sins. God's going to substitute him if you will believe it, if you will hold on to it, if he will become your Lord and Savior, then you can be forgiven no matter where you come from because Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Not only that, but he was buried. He was buried. There's nothing worse than a funeral. I think of all the years I've done funerals. I think of the funeral we did yesterday. It was more of a celebration of life, not really quite a funeral. But I think of the funerals we've done here. I think of the greatest funerals are the ones for Christians. There's so little tears, amen? So little tears. When you get into a funeral for non-Christians, tears are everywhere because death is final for them. Death for Christians is not final. It's just a step in the journey. We get to see Utana again. Somebody say amen. And when I get there, she's going to say, hello, Trevor. Just like she used to greet me in the nursing home. I would walk in the nursing home. She'd already be sitting on that piano bench and say, hello, Trevor. I didn't know if you were going to make it today. Have I ever not made it? That's just the way she greeted me. Oh, I already miss her. What a wonderful woman she is. Notice I almost said was. I want to remind you what Jesus said. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Amen. Hallelujah! He died for our sin, according to the Scriptures. It pleased God to bruise him. He became a sacrifice for us. And he fulfills every one of those promises. He was also buried. He was buried. See, it's important that he was buried. Why? Why was it important that he was buried? Because conquer the grave, Joe. Jesus conquers the grave. You know what Paul said in this book, in this chapter, chapter 15? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You're not going to hold my loved one down anymore because Jesus Christ lives, my loved one will live. And they're going to come up out of the ground at the resurrection and fly up to be with the Lord forever. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Come now, Lord. He rose again the third day, conquering death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Where is thy sting? It doesn't stay from you. He was buried for us. He resurrected for us. The greatest news the world has ever heard. The greatest news. Greater than victory, the Nazis have quit. Greater than mankind stepped on the moon. Greater than we've invented penicillin. Greater than the McRib is back. I knew some of y'all were McDonald's fans out there. Greatest news! Jesus Christ has conquered the grave and death. That's the gospel. He was crucified for us. He paid for our sins. He was buried for us. He was resurrected for us. That's the gospel. Simple, plain, pure, easy. Not about tithes, not about church membership, not about degrees, not about biblical understanding, but about knowing who your Lord and Savior is, Jesus Christ. That's who he is, and that's the gospel. Let's get back to our scripture, though, because I'm running out of time. Let's get back to that. Remember, Jesus not only went to them, not only did he teach, not only did he preach, but he and went about all the cities and villages and the fields. I'm in a Baptist church now. Pastor, you talking about laying your hands and healing? Yeah. He healed. Can I tell you something about God? This may sound a little strange to you, but I love God the Father. I'll tell you, I love God the Son. I love God the Holy Ghost. Sometimes God answers our prayers and heals people. Sometimes He says, hey, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. Well, I guess I need that again. Some of us are like, God, I want my hangnail healed. God, no. I think you're all right with that Band-Aid. I gave you wisdom for that, buddy. But we do need to get back into the healing business. And I'm not talking about having people come up to the aisle and lay hands. I'm not talking about that. I know that's what you're thinking. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the church needs to get back into the healing business. So, Pastor, what do you mean? We need to get back to where we're healing families. Amen. We need to get back where we're healing our cities. We need to get back where we're healing our counties. Get back to our healing our state. See, the church has the power. Listen to me now. The church has the power to overcome death. The church has the power to beat the LGBTQ agenda. The church has the power to beat socialism, to beat communism. The church has the power to tell the devil, take a hike, get thee behind it. We've got the power to heal. We need to get back into that business. You need to get back to that business. I think it's a shame that the LGBTQ community has an agenda in schools and the church does not. Why? Because we didn't speak up. We were like, oh, man, we didn't have to do that. 20 years ago, we were quiet when the Congress said, let's let homosexuals become families. We should have spoke up then. We should have roared like a lion. Do you believe what the Bible says? The gates of hell will never prevail. We have the power to get back into healing business. You know, we can bring righteousness back into our families. How does it start? When we repent, when we call upon His name, when we turn from our wicked ways, He'll heal our land. Amen? That's what it's all about. When are we going to do that? It ain't going to happen until you get moved by compassion. Pastor, you say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean. Maybe I need to look at these people I don't know if I love them. Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. But you know what? It can start in your home. Look at your children. Fall in love with them again, God. Fall in love with your sons. Fall in love with your daughter. Fall in love with your grandchildren. Fall in love with them again. God gave them to you. Fall in love with them again. Protect them. Raise them. Teach them. Preach to them. Oh, my goodness. Heal them in the name of Jesus. Get that evil devil stuff out of your house and put the gospel back in. Heal them. A few weeks ago, I had a little surprise phone call. Anna, do not know. I hope and pray he is watching online this morning. He called and said, Pastor, how do I keep my son from being homosexual? That's a month and a half. You talk about a question that will catch you by surprise. Well, gee, I've just got a list right here, buddy. I'll give it to you. No. There are several things that catch me by surprise nowadays. That was one of the two cases. First thing I told him after thinking about it for a minute or two was, did you teach him that it was wrong? He said, no. I said, that's why he was down the road again. Did you teach him that it was wrong? He said, God puts it on our shoulders, Dad, to raise our children the way we should be done. In the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's for us, Dad. We're supposed to be doing that. Did you teach him that it was wrong? He said, no. I knew it was wrong, but I didn't want to get political. If I did get political, this is normal. Teach them what's wrong. Say, oh, Pastor, I couldn't do that. You better. We have grandchildren. We got wives, husbands. We got nieces, nephews. We got grandparents, aunts, uncles. We got family members. We got friends and neighbors that are embracing sin. Because we're not teaching. We're not preaching. We're not loving. We're not building. We're not moved by compassion. We need to get back to this healing business. We want to get healed, we need to start loving. You know what the Bible says? You ready for this? The Bible tells us love covers multitudes. Tell me out now. Covers a multitude of sin. Love them. I did learn something when I was preaching in Poland. I learned that English doesn't work very well there. I learned if you're lost down on the street and you walk up to somebody and say, "Excuse me, do you speak English?" and they stare at you like an idiot, they do not speak English. I was with Pastor there. I did not tell you all this because I was really embarrassed. But Pastor got in trouble with his wife when I was there. And I hope Pastor Gregory does not watch. He watches all the time online. Forgive me, Pastor. He speaks English too. However, I'm going to share this story, Pastor. Pastor got in trouble with his wife. Not bad, because he had forgotten to do something. She called him. She said, "You better get over there and do that." He was like, "Oh, Joshua." He had a really heavy accent. "I cannot do that. Oh, Joshua. I've got to drop you off here." I was like, "Where's here? I've got to drop you off. I've got to go do this, and I'll see you at service tonight. You can get yourself back to your hotel, and you can get yourself to church tonight." And I was like, and he did. I mean, he opened the door. Yeah. Greased his tires a little bit. Gone. I didn't know where to go. I'm not kidding you. The good news is they had all these like maps on the corner and said, put an X on it that I assume says you are here. I knew I was next to a lake, so I made my way on the map toward the lake. Walked up and down the lake shore, so I found the hotel next to me. Praise God, I got inside the door. And about 10 minutes later, someone knocked on the door and said, "I'm here to take you to church." I was like, "Praise God, I had no idea what that church was. Know anywhere to find that thing? Here to take you to church." So, I mean, I had made it in 10 minutes later. You tell my wife in your head. Whew. Thank you, God. You know, love covers the multitude. You need to get back in the field of business. You can love them into health. You can love them into Christianity. You can love them back into the church. You can love them back into your family. You can hold on to that grudge for the last 10 years. Start loving them. You've been holding that grudge for 15 years. You're not a sister-in-law, a brother-in-law, an aunt, an uncle, somebody you just can't be around. Quit holding that grudge. Start loving them because we are in the healing business. That's not all. Look at me again in verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, that Bible says, when he saw them, the last time he opened your eyes, take a look at the house. Copper Cove is not a little town anymore. It's not 14,000 people. When you go to Walmart nowadays, you don't know those people walking around, do you? How about this? Have you been there? Or have you? You saw multitudes. Did you open your eyes this morning? Did you open your eyes this morning? Look. Some pastor, I want to see what you see. I don't see what I see. See what Jesus sees. Start looking at your eyes. My Bible says, they were weary. This is my new translation. Weary and scattered. They were open and generous. They were born to pray like a sheep without a shepherd. I think that's a better translation. Not only were they weary and scattered, they were leaving off in all kinds of places, going astray like sheep with no shepherd. And Jesus saw them for who they are, for what they are. He wasn't angry. He wasn't, "Serves you guys right, you were homosexual. Serves you guys right, you're a drug addict. Serves you right, you're an alcoholic. Serves you right. That's what happens when you cheat on your wife. You get a divorce," right? No, he wasn't that way. He was moved with compassion. Compelled by compassion. You should love each other. I'm starting out by looking at what Jesus said about the disciples. And he said, "I've washed your feet. You should do this for one another." You know what he said in John 13? He said in verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another. I have loved you." I would like to say that's just for us disciples, right? Amen. We should love each other. It's been my experience in 30 years of ministry that the church is the only army that kills its own wounded. "A new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another. I have loved you, but you also love one another. By this," look at verse 35, "all will know that you are my disciples." Want to be his disciple? Can you start loving again? If you have love for one another. If you have love for one another, love should be inside of every believer. to be there. In fact, if you'll take a look at me in Galatians 5:22, verses 23, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, it's the very first fruit of the Spirit. God's Spirit makes us love. If you're not loving, brother, you've got a problem in the spirit department. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. Why? Because love covers the multitude. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law. There's no Deuteronomy statement against that. There's no Exodus commandment against that. Love him. In fact, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, he makes you love. Look at me again, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. If you've got the Holy Spirit in you, love should be coming out of you. Amen? Are you loving? Are you loving? Did you see that? Somebody in your family, somebody in your friend network, somebody who works with you. Stop praying for them every day. The power of prayer is amazing. You want to have an experiment? Pick somebody that just can't stand you. Start praying for them. You're going to find out that they don't like you even more. Tell me the truth. Because when you start praying for them, you think God's going to change them, you're going to find out that God is changing you. You're going to find out that God starts changing you, and you're going to find yourself in positions where you're working with them. You're going to start loving them and showing them love the way you can. Why? Because God's Spirit makes us love them. Somebody say amen. But we do need to do what Jesus did and open our eyes. And when we do, we're going to be compelled by Jesus. Compelled by the 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who has fear has not been made perfect in love. Are you afraid? Are you afraid to witness? Are you afraid to testify? Are you afraid to share the gospel? Are you afraid to leave the gospel back? Well, you're not made perfect in love. But you can be. You can start this morning to come down the aisle, put Jesus in your heart. Perhaps say, Pastor, I do have Christ in my heart. But I'm lacking in the Spirit department. Will you come? Let the Spirit fill you. Would you be out loving today? Some of you might say, well, I want to know a little bit more about how Jesus loves. Let me share one more verse with you. Romans 5 or 6. But God demonstrated his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Would you open your eyes to love? You'd be compelled by compassion this morning. Come put Jesus in your heart. Perhaps you say, Pastor, I need to be a member of this church. Come. Pastor, I need to come forward and be baptized. Pastor, I need to repent. Would you come this morning? Let's pray. Oh, Father God, I come to you now in Jesus' name. And I pray right now you would help us, Lord God, with our fears. Let it be swallowed up by compassion this morning. Let your love and your peace, Lord, move in our hearts and our lives. It could be anybody that needs to come to know you as personal Lord and Savior. For anyone, Father God, that needs to be a part of Robinson Avenue, or anyone, Lord God, that needs to get a relationship with you right now, would you let Savior today work compelled by compassion? In Jesus' name we pray. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Compelled. Come on. Rise. Would you come this morning?
Come, sadness, come wherever you've been. Come, brokenhearted, let rescue begin.
Would you come?
Come, find your mercy. Oh, sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can feel. So lay
Katata practice 4:30 here in the sanctuary. If anyone Katata need to be here, it's one of our last times to practice next week. Katata right here at Robertson Avenue Baptist Church. Bring your family, bring your friends. You're going to be blessed. It's a great, great Katata, and I am so proud of what God has done with our brother Mark, with our brother Robert, with our brother Glenn, and our Katata. Let's give that Katata a round of applause right now. Those guys, they've been working hard and singing hard. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be a part of that next week. Also, church, don't forget, men's Bible study at 6:30. Don't forget our Wednesday night right here at 6:30. And we'll pick back up with our normal Bible study and prayer service in that evening. So be in prayer about that. You don't want to miss that sermon. So let's close in that word of prayer, and I'll see you guys this evening at Katata Practice. Brother CB, would you close in prayer time, sir?